Straight ahead, how far is President Trump willing to go on Greenland, Iran, Mexico? Military force or political muscle? Republican Congressman Jake Elzey, a combat veteran himself, on whether America is on the brink of another confrontation. Also, a surprise inside new numbers about this year's health insurance policies. Something Texans are doing that the nation is not. Plus, from the pulpit to politics, Pastor Freddie Haynes launches his congressional campaign. If elected, the two things he'd fight for first, and whether Sunday sermons would still fit in with Washington. Also, former state rep and councilwoman Barbara Mallory Caraway. Can she defeat a popular pastor? Her answer, and the one thing she says that sets her apart.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thanks for being here. Let's begin the program, as always, with the headlines. And we are watching a potentially significant shift happening in the Democratic race for U.S. Senate. James Tallarico now leading Jasmine Crockett, according to a new poll. He's at 47%. She's at 39%. Though it's only a snapshot in time, this is the first survey to show Tallarico in the lead. NextStar and Emerson College conducted this one last week. We're also watching to see how many private schools in Texas will actually sign up to take school vouchers. The comptroller's office tells us 1,000 schools have signed up, but more than half of those are pre-K and kindergarten classes. Parents can begin registering their children February the 4th. A new interview with Acting Comptroller Kelly Hancock on this week's episode of Yolitics. And despite rising health care costs, there are more Texans buying health insurance policies on the ACA marketplace. About 140,000 new policies issued for 2026. That's according to the Texas Tribune. That stands out because premiums increased after Republicans let subsidies expire. And signups nationwide have also fallen too. Experts still warn, though, that this could fall in Texas when that first bill comes due. Let's begin right now, though, with several evolving situations happening in Washington. A president who campaigned on America First, now, though, weighing potential military action in Greenland, in Iran, even Mexico. Texas Republicans have not said a lot about this publicly. Our first guest, though, Republican Congressman Jake Elzey, who spent 20 years as a U.S. Navy fighter pilot and now represents parts of North and East Texas. Congressman, welcome back to the program here.
Thanks, Jason. It's good to be with you.
Considering your extensive military experience, there's a lot going on with foreign policy. Let's talk about Greenland first here. President Trump continuing to push this, saying he wants to acquire Greenland. Anything less than total American control, he says, is unacceptable. Do you support that?
Let's talk about Greenland from 30,000 feet real quick. The message here is not to NATO or Denmark. The message here, much as it was in Venezuela, much as it was with Iran, is to China and Russia. Because this plot of land, the largest island in the world, populated by 60,000 people, who last year tried to negotiate with the Chinese, the message from Donald Trump and this administration is, do not mess with Greenland. It's part of our national defense. We will not look kindly on that.
So, do you support, though, a takeover or using U.S. military?
Remember, big words are a signal to somebody else. Always look into what else he's talking about here. The message here is to everybody involved, this is part of the Western Hemisphere, don't go near there.
So you think this is just political muscle the president's using as opposed to actually real talk about taking it over?
That's correct. This is a message to the rest of the world of how seriously we take any threats to Greenland.
If the president is sending a message to China and Russia, Europe is getting a completely different message. Our allies there and NATO there, I mean, Denmark has made plenty of public statements how they're concerned that the U.S. might launch a military strike.
No, Denmark's buying F-35s. We have great relationships with Denmark. I believe that they're in on this. This is part of the signal. They can't defend.
You believe they're in on this?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody in NATO is recognizing, my guess is here that intel is being shared from the United States to Denmark, that as Russia starts to falter on its economy is built on the military, they are stalled out in the Ukraine. China is starting to feel the aspects of the failures of a one-child policy. These dictatorships start to get desperate and do desperate things. So yes, absolutely. The relationships are not harmed, but this is a signal that to everybody that NATO will defend our territory. The only one who can do that is not Denmark. That's a long way away from Denmark. They don't have the armed forces to do it. We're willing to help. So absolutely I do.
Let's talk about the federal budget for a moment here. Funding for the federal government expires at the end of the month, but it looks like some progress is being made in D.C. The House passed with bipartisan votes, funding for a number of agencies. Can you guys stave off another government shutdown?
The bipartisan passage of the last two bills that we passed this week shows that. I'm glad you asked me an easy question that's not hard. and we have four left, and we're conducting regular order with bipartisan support. These funding bills, albeit late, but we're making progress. Remember, we got the budget 3 months late. The president's supposed to get that to us in February. We got it 3 months late. And Tom Cole and the subcommittee chairs have done a remarkable job of getting these done. We've got four left. I'm very optimistic about it. The largest one of which is defense. I'm on defense subcommittee, and we'll see that next week. So no, but everybody lost in that shutdown, and everybody admits it now. They're just not going to say it.
Is that why it's moving bipartisan now, do you think?
People should be proud of this, because for all the internal talk of how we are divided and things aren't going well and we are a nation that's ruptured, I would argue we are not, Jason. We worked great, and it doesn't get any clicks. The algorithm doesn't like it when things go well. But that went exceptionally well. So we've got some things that we got to work on in the four remaining bills, but those are relatively minor that we will get across and then we'll get them to the Senate and then signed by the president. And the federal government will be funded once again. And I'm extremely optimistic, more than I ever have been, that we're going to get that job done.
Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you, Jason.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about the politics of all of this here. Bud Kennedy is with us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Natalie Haddad, political reporter at WFAA in Dallas, and our friend Abby Livingston, congressional correspondent at Puck News. Bud, let's start with you. You heard what the congressman said about Greenland. Is this all just an act to send a message to China and Russia?
It's interesting. You know, I think Jake Elzey has seen some wrestling matches, and I have too. And we know that Donald Trump and a lot of his style and a lot of his planning comes from his history. I'm not kidding about this. In wrestling, his hiring the wrestling owners to work in his administration. Everything is scripted. And I think what may be true in this case is that his comments about Greenland are scripted. He's told Denmark and NATO, look, here's what you all can do and say. Let's all look tough kind of bluff China. He's done this before. You know, he sat down, one of the books from the last administration, he sat down with North Korea and said, okay, this is what you can say and look tough, and I'll say this and look tough, and we'll all look good to our people.
And it seems, though, on the outside, though, Natalie, the temperature is still pretty hot on this.
The temperature is still pretty hot on this. I think Americans are certainly divided. And then talk to or listen to the residents and officials out of Greenland. They have made it very clear that Greenland is not for sale. They want control of their future. So to Bud's point, this does sound pretty scripted, but I'd really like to know what outside threats from China and Russia that the administration may not know about that have an impact on Greenland, because we're not seeing a whole lot of specifics about that right now. We're just hearing, please stay out of Greenland from those there.
And Abby, you talk to a lot of members of Congress. What are you hearing?
Well, I think folks are waiting and seeing on this. But what I can tell you is in Europe, there are many, many countries and many diplomats who are very nervous. They're worried about the future of NATO, which is our military alliance with Europe. And they are taking this very seriously and watching every movement of this Greenland excursion, I guess is how we would describe it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to see on this too, guys. Thanks so much for that. A lot more ahead here, including this.
When we come back, a closer look at the Democratic race to replace Jasmine Crockett in Congress. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Barbara Mallory Caraway, up next on Inside Texas Politics.
All right, now to the Democratic race to replace Jasmine Crockett in Congress. Two of the top candidates taking our questions right now. First up, Pastor Frederick Haynes from Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, and then Barbara Mallory Caraway, a former state rep and member of the Dallas City Council. Pastor Haynes, good to see you here.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Why in the world do you want to leave the pulpit where you have influence and get into politics with the state of it today?
Wow, thank you for that question. First, I don't consider myself leaving the pulpit. This is really a reflection of the great tradition, especially in the black church, where you had Adam Clayton Powell Jr., you had Floyd Flake, To this day, you have Senator Raphael Warnock, who in a real sense expanded the pulpit. So it's not leaving the pulpit as much as it is expanding the pulpit so that the message of justice is brought to the political arena. And so that's what I see myself doing, basically extending a ministry of public service beyond what takes place in church on Sunday.
If elected, will you still preach on Sundays?
Oh, without question, without question. I'll be in the church every single Sunday. I talked to Raphael Warnock as I was praying about this, and he said, I've only missed 2 Sundays in 5 years, and so I look forward to having that kind of record too.
If elected, top 2 priorities?
Top 2. Number 1, of course, is going to be economic security. The bottom line is too many people are one crisis away from finding themselves in economic disaster.
But what does that look like, though, Pastor? What does economic security look like for voters?
Well, number 1, it looks like ensuring that we move from minimum wage to a living wage and measure what a living wage is according to the area. So a living wage in Dallas is not a living wage in New York. We have to understand what a living wage is and make that the wage that people live by. But also we have to ensure that we are, how can I put it, we do a better job when it comes to capping housing, capping prices. And so when we look at the things that have been done in the country that have literally sent prices through the roof, such as tariffs, we have to end the tariffs and hold accountable the presidency, because we cannot continue to ensure that some are enriched while some are struggling.
You've talked a lot about abolishing ICE as well. We all see what's happening in Minnesota, what's happening in Los Angeles, but we're a border state. We have to have some security on the border, don't we?
We have to have security on the border, but we can do that without the terrorism that is taking place now in too many of our communities that goes beyond the persons that they claim they are trying to keep out of the country. And so I think that we have to redefine what it means in terms of border security. And we cannot have masked individuals with the backing of the federal government terrorizing Americans.
Let's talk foreign policy here for a moment. Do you support sending the military into Venezuela or into Greenland?
Not at all. I think that America, if we're serious about America first, then we have enough problems here in this country that we need to solve. I'm against a colonial imperialism that continues to spread. Greenland does not want us there. Venezuela is an independent country. We need to respect the wishes of the citizenry in those countries.
Iran is teetering on the edge of revolution, it looks like, perhaps a democratic revolution it hasn't had since the 70s.
Right.
Where do you stand on that? Should the U.S. help further that? Should the U.S. conduct military strikes?
I think the U.S. should stand on the sidelines, and we need to do. Martin Luther King Jr., who we will celebrate this weekend, talked about one of the evil triplets being militarism, and militarism often sticks its nose where it's not necessarily wanted. And so I am adamantly opposed to any kind of intervention militaristically in Iran. As a matter of fact, I believe the people of Iran have the right and the responsibility to decide their destiny politically.
Pastor, it's good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you very much.
Barbara, it's good to see you again here.
Great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. On the ballot, voters are going to see your name next to a very high-profile pastor's name. Where do you differ from him the most?
Well, you just said it. He's a pastor. I have the most legislative experience than anyone on the ballot. So I can hit the ground running. This is a very, very huge district. It encompasses 8 cities, part of the heart of Dallas. It includes Lancaster, Cedar Hill, Duncanville, DeSoto. It includes Grand Prairie, Arlington, Cedar Hill, Glen Heights. So we have a lot of territory to cover. The good news is that people know me. People know me from my service on the Dallas City Council.
Sure.
People know me from my service in the state legislature. And so I have a record that is in full view in the legislature. So we differ, because as much as I respect Mr. Reverend Haynes as a pastor, I differ because of my legislative experience that I can hit the ground running in Washington.
But you're going up against someone who is well known, who can probably, you know, turn on his church and get people to the polls, and likely is going to have money. Where do you see a path to victory?
I see a path to victory, as I always have, in working in the grassroots, reaching out to people, calling people, getting volunteers. That is my path to victory. People know my name, and I will make sure that people know that I am running.
Let's talk foreign policy for a moment here. Do you support sending the military into Venezuela or potentially into Greenland?
Absolutely not. We have allies. Greenland is an ally. They're part of NATO. And so what we're doing is we are going against our allies. Is that a good position for the United States to be in? It's not even about whether you love or support America. It's about our standing in the world, and that is not a good place for us to be.
Iran is teetering on the edge of revolution. Would you support the U.S. military?
Potentially
that is just, doing strikes
well, you know, this
there?
This is all so new. It's mind-boggling that we want to police the world.
Your positions, though, sound like America first.
Well, I'm not going to use that because that's what the president said, but I am certainly looking in terms of running on that in the philosophy that we don't try to develop allies and to respect our alliances across the world. So I am people first. I am always for the people. And what we have to do is learn to use our taxpayer dollars to benefit the people that we are tasked to represent, yeah, along with building alliances, because we have an alliance with people across the world, and we need to respect that.
With at least three or so candidates in this race, the battle is going to be to get into a runoff. How do you push Freddie Haynes into a runoff?
Well, I'm really focused on turning out the vote, and however that falls, it falls. And so what I'm focused on is running my campaign, letting the voters know where I stand, and we'll see where that lands.
Barbara, it's good to see you again.
Well, good, and thank you for having me. And again, on March the 3rd, we'll Barbara Mallory Caraway. If you want any information, go to barbaraforcongress.com.
All right, the roundtable is ready when we come back here on Inside Texas Politics. And less than 3 weeks until parents can apply for school vouchers. How many private schools are actually going to participate, though? New numbers from Acting Comptroller Kelly Hancock. It's this week's Yolitics, available to download right now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Natalie, and Abby all with us again here. Abby, let's start with you. James Tallarico, we mentioned at the beginning of the program, leading a brand new poll for the first time ever against Jasmine Crockett. What do you make of that?
Well, I found it very interesting. I think most folks, including myself, thought that Congresswoman Crockett might take the lead because she's got such high name identification across the country. She's so well known on social media. But I do think it's worth noting that she got into this race very late, on the last day of filing in December, and Tallarico's been working the state for quite a bit longer. And so now we are in the throes of the campaign, but it really has just gotten started.
Yeah, and Natalie, she got in the last hours before filing ended there, I think 90 minutes before filing ended. So she did get in late, but she could make up time, I presume, right?
She certainly has time to make up for it, but I think these new poll numbers make a lot of sense. She has overwhelming support from Black voters. Tallarico has overwhelming support now from white voters and Latino voters. Latino voters know that he was a teacher in the west side of San Antonio. He talks about it all the time. Yeah. So these numbers make a lot of sense, but there is still time for Crockett to catch up.
But what do you think about this?
Well, of course, Crockett, the 60% of the voters are women usually, and so that gave Crockett a big advantage in the early polls. It's a very volatile race. You know, what happened here, Jason, is that once she declared, her media appearances actually went down. People started taking her off the air because they were trying to be careful about putting her out there as a candidate, and they might need to balance Tallarico. She's been less visible the last month than she was before.
Yeah, that is interesting about bringing her off the air because she is running. Abby, let's talk about the Republican side. It's just as bruising over there. Wesley Hunt, John Cornyn, Ken Paxton. Paxton out with his first ad, and Cornyn's going after Wesley Hunt as well here. How are you handicapping this one right now?
Well, this is just a great Senate race to have both sides so unpredictable. I think the biggest development of the week came when it became clear that Donald Trump, at least for now, is not inclined to make an endorsement, which would have helped John Cornyn a great deal. So I think this is going to be a battle royale through March, and then we'll probably be on to the runoff.
Yeah, and with no endorsement at all, Natalie, it is going to be a battle royale.
Yeah, Wesley Hunt may take a couple of votes from Paxton or Cornyn, but it's not showing to be enough. I think this will certainly go into a runoff. We're going to see this as a battle between Cornyn and Paxton. As far as any endorsements go, I'm curious to see what route President Trump takes, if any. Certainly a safe endorsement for Cornyn is there, but maybe I wonder how he feels about a potential endorsement for Paxton. You know, President Trump has seen his fair share of scandal, and his name is in the headlines not so positively oftentimes, and neither is Paxton. So I wonder if he will go with a safer endorsement there.
But how big of a deal is it? You know, Cornyn's really going after Wesley Hunt for supposedly missing 90% of the votes. How big of a deal is that going to be to voters?
Well, he's trying to build up Wesley Hunt because he thinks some of Paxton's voters may go over to Wesley Hunt. But the fact is, Ken Paxton is still running away with this race, even though it looks like in the polls he's tied. You know, the fact is that when it comes down to a runoff, the day after Memorial Day, Ken Paxton's voters will turn out. We're not sure John Cornyn's will.
And Abby, what do you think about that? Final seconds here.
I think Democrats are really hoping for a Ken Paxton, but they could also regret what they wish for.
Yeah, indeed so. You know, that's what I'm hearing from everyone as well, too. You know, Democrats are hoping Jasmine Crockett or James Tallarico that they get Paxton to run against, and some Republicans have expressed concern about that, too. Guys, thanks so much as always. We appreciate your insight. Thank you for watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics, and we hope to see you then. Take care.